You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Look how happy the Iranians are. They love bombs blowing up their bridges in 36 universities. No, they are unified now against us. They do the exact opposite. Despite Israel and the CIA shipping a bunch of weapons in and causing all the uprisings, it failed. But because the main war is failing, its main objection of regime change, its main objective of regime change, Trump is making it all about the incredible, daring rescue of an F-15 weapons officer. That's not the pilot, it's the guy that runs the weapons, who climbed a 7,000-foot mountain despite the fact that he reportedly was torn up really bad. So bad he can't be at the press conference. You know they wanted him there. And then our incredible military, which, say what you want about it, nobody can do what we can do. That's all true. And so Trump's like, it was an incredible gamble. We're lucky. Yeah, Trump. This is 1/1,000th. And that's conservative. This rescue mission of taking the Strait of Hormuz. It's like it's designed by God to be a trap. 2,000-foot sheer cliffs. 5,000 and 7,000 mountains above that, all perfect, tiny beach, dozens of islands, weapons bases, hidden missiles, howitzers. And Trump finally last week was admitting that. Oh, we don't want to go in there because they've got all these troops with shoulder-fired missiles and anti-ship missiles and anti-aircraft missiles. Yeah, and you're going to have to come in with close air support and do that, and you're going to have helicopters shot down all over the place. And yeah, I guarantee you, for every U.S. pilot or soldier or Marine they killed, yeah, we'll probably kill 10 of them. They got 100-1. They don't care. It didn't matter how badass our Marines and Army were in Korea. My great uncle, youngest of five brothers, my grandfather's brother, last to die, incredible person, Uncle Leonard, he was in Korea 2 years, and he would tell stories. None of the people ever tell World War II or Korea stories or Vietnam stories. My uncle would never tell Vietnam stories. He said, nope, never going to tell you a story. Nope, he would tell me like joke stories or funny things. And he talked about those big final battles before MacArthur threatened to drop nukes on him. And then Truman said no and relieved him, but said, we will drop nukes if you don't stop. The Chinese sent 3 million troops in because we were winning and pushing all the way up. And there's the famous stories of the Marines surrounded, you know, by 500,000 troops on a hill, on a mountain range, and the head Marine, they say, sir, we're completely surrounded. He goes, good, we can attack in all directions. And there's reports and congressional reports. There were piles of bodies, just like you see in the movie 300, that's, you know, based on true story, but fictionalized cartoon, that was written by where there's stacks of bodies like 30, 40, 50 feet tall that uses a wall. There were literally stacks of 30, 40 foot of dead Chinese. And my uncle said he thanked God that they were in the Air Force, because they were coming in on those transport planes, whatever they were then. I forget the name. It's not a C-130. And they were just dropping weapons out of South Korea and out of Japan 24 hours a day with parachutes. And they would come in, 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 and just they would just come in and just be... And one time during his first tour, right at the end, when they get back to the base, the engine goes out and they crash, but they lived, and they all get briefed the next week, and they said, that engine was shot. And they're like, yeah, the mechanics say it's got metal shavings in it for manufacturing. It's bad. Later, years later, Congress came out, they were covering up that particular engine. He told the story about how they lost more of their planes to the engines going out because of war profiteering and bad quality. And now they got briefed and said, you're not going to tell, you know, you're getting a medal for getting shot up, even though they got shot up before. Don't say, because they all talk with the mechanics, you are not to say that was because of the metal shavings in the engine or whatever it was. Metal shavings, I forget the exact thing he said. He was an engineer too, petroleum engineer. He was all technical. I don't understand it. It's just that that was the same thing with my grandfather in the Army Air Corps. The other one was a B-17, my dad's dad, but my mom's dad. The fighter plane had a malfunction coming in for landing, and they told him the same thing. They said, oh, nope, you get an award. You were shot up. And he was like, and later it came out in Congress later that the plane was defective. It's just how all this stuff operates, folks, is insane. And my point is that no matter how badass our Marines and Army were, they were melting barrels. The howitzers were malfunctioning. They were just dropping munitions on. They were fighting 24 hours a day. Total battle fatigue. They said people just blacked out, fought for 3-4 days at a time. Piles of dead bodies. Just more Chinese, more Chinese, more Chinese, more Chinese. This is what we're talking about. Sorry, long story. Let's go to Ratcliffe and then to your phone calls. And I'll pause it. I want to hear what Hegg says has to say. I wonder what the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Kane, has to say. We'll do that next hour. And the big news I haven't hit yet. We're an hour and 39 minutes in, I've dropped the ball. I have the official Iranian letter translated to English. We had ChatGPT do it. And the corporate press did not show this, so I dropped the ball this morning. I went and read, and basically said it was the same proposal before. I'm like, oh, God, they're arrogant. Well, that shows how they are. No, they basically surrendered. Yeah, kind of a big news story. The Iranians basically surrendered, which I didn't think they would do. And I guess Trump thinks they won't really do it or something. And so Trump said, screw you, I'm obliterating you tomorrow, hitting civilian targets. Wait till I get to the Iranian translation. I said I'm right 98% of the time. I didn't think they would no more get your military bases out, no more any of this. They have basically, this is 10 times better than the deal the Democrats had. You go, well, see, Trump's right, he's right, he's right. Why, when he finally got the deal, and you heard they're telling him get an off-ramp, they got to be blackmailing him for something. I don't know what to say at this point. But this is real war crime territory now. Because you say these objectives, and then people give you the objective, and you don't do it, and you keep rolling the dice. I think Trump's having fun. Remember, he always said, I'm going to make sure the economy's secure, Medicare, Medicaid. He's like, I can't deal with Medicare, Medicaid, and all this stuff now. We're a war. We just do wars now. The opposite of what he said. And even if that's what he really thought, they're going to run ads. They already are. We're going to lose the midterms with that. That's not me bashing Trump. That's me assessing things. Let's go to Ratcliffe and your phone calls. Here it is.
He did something that I don't know if you want to talk about it. If you want, you can. I'm not sure he's supposed to. I'm not going to talk about it. But the CIA was very responsible for finding this little speck. It's like they used an expression on one of the shows. A general was talking about it's like finding a needle in a haystack, finding this pilot.
Not CIA with a GPS beacon. No, it's not. It's and like finding your iPhone.
If you can, you'll talk. It might be classified, in which case I'd have to put him in jail if he talks about it. And I don't want to put him in jail. He doesn't deserve that. So, John, do you want to say a few words? Thank you.
We never heard of GPS before.
Mr. President, it's a privilege to be here with you today to share what we can about this exceptional mission and to recognize the ingenuity and bravery of those who executed it, as well as the leadership and resolve of the president who ordered it. One thing that has been clear to me in this role is that the flawless military operations that the Department of War is known for are hostage to flawless intelligence. We saw that in the skies over Iran in Operation Midnight Hammer last summer. We witnessed it in Venezuela during Operation Absolute Resolve. We've seen it against the cartels in the Western Hemisphere, and we're seeing it every day in Operation Epic Fury, including this mission to rescue an aviator buried deep behind enemy lines. Because it is the unique tradition of the U.S. Armed Forces that we leave no man or woman behind, this was a no-fail mission.
Except in Vietnam.
That was the spirit in which the president put us to work, and we were determined not to let him down or our airmen down. As an agency,
so this is the politicians that got us into this taking credit. Let's stop here. I'm not going to make our callers hold. After we take these calls, I'll go back to this. I don't know. Maybe I should just move on. I, I need to read you the Iranian thing. They've never done this, which, I mean, gives Trump credit. When I read this, I couldn't believe it. And it's bad on me that I read the corporate press and they didn't tell me this. So I said, hey, let me see the actual thing. Translate it. The fact that he basically got everything he wanted, because Israel wants total regime change. It's just back against the wall. That's why they keep killing the negotiators. I'm like, oh my God. I didn't think they'd actually capitulate. That's that 2% of the time I'm wrong. And now I'm even more pissed. And now they're going to blow up all their water and their energy. This is insane. It's because Trump doesn't have understanding of this stuff. And people got mad at me over the weekend saying, hey, there's hope. He wants an off-ramp. That's what I was told people to talk to him. You see him saying both things. Get off. No, we're not going to go off. We don't want the straight. We do want the straight. I mean, just welcome to crazy town. You say it's a negotiation tactic. No. No, this is just gambling. This is like a form of entertainment to Trump. It's not to me. Because here's the deal, Trump. The economists say already we may not get out of this financially. Because you had a great plan financially. And the recovery was starting to happen. Like little seeds coming up, little plant, but it was sprouting, it was working. And now you're just going to turn the water off to the plants. That's what this is. People say all Jones cares about is money. Yeah, the left wants us bankrupt. That's what BlackRock wants. This economic viability, economic success is the main hallmark of freedom. And then privacy and mobility and all of that. All right, I'm going to shut up. We got Jeremy in Kentucky's Army. We got Dennis in Virginia, Airborne Army Paratrooper, Fort Bragg. We got James in Texas Air Force. We got Eric in North Carolina, Marine Air Force. We got Neo in Oklahoma, Airborne Combat Team 92 Alpha. I'll take the calls, the order received. Eric in North Carolina, thanks for holding. Marine Air Force, welcome.
Hey, Alex, it's Eric. Hey, I love methylene blue and your iodine. I take it every day. Hey, I was a staff sergeant in Marine Corps before I went to the Air Force. I was a flight mechanic on a C-130, been to SEER school, been there, done that. I want to know how you climb 7,000 feet up a mountain with a broken leg. How do you do that?
So, say that again?
How do you climb 7,000 feet up a mountain with a broken leg?
I mean, I think we're getting a lot of hazy info. You think we're being lied to?
Okay, but this is all...
Yeah, no, you clearly don't climb. You don't climb a 100-foot hill, maybe a 500-foot... I could crawl up a 500-foot hill, but yeah, I couldn't do that with a broken leg.
Right, no, there's no way. And I heard there was a colonel in the back seat. When do you put a colonel in the back of an F-15 to go do a combat mission? It's all smoke and mirrors. It's all to get people on the side of the war, I believe. That's what it is. It's. I think they were going in to get the uranium or whatever. You know, they were doing another mission, and this is just a cover-up. And the pictures didn't look good either. It was like, okay, I got a picture of a broken ejection seat, a piece of a tail, and what was the other picture of? The wing. Piece of a wing or a tail or something like that. So why didn't you take the picture of the whole crash site? What, was the airplane blown in pieces and strewn all over the place? Who knows? You know what I mean? It's all a bunch of malarkey. All it is. I don't believe any of it. I bet I did 20 combat sorties in Iraq, and it's a bunch of crap. There's no way. I did Operation Northern Watch. I hung out, you know, a mile. I was in Diyarbakir, a mile from the Iraqi border. Nobody ever got shot down, but it's you don't send in that many aircraft to go pick up one guy unless you're doing something else. That's what I believe.
Where do you see this going now?
Where do I see it going? It's just, like you said, it's just a bunch of malarkey. It's going right down the rabbit hole. So we're going right down the toilet. You know, I'm done. I did 28 years in the military. I am done with who's in charge right now. And there's a lot of people, all my friends, we're ready. All I can say is we're ready. We are ready. That's all I can say.
Done. All right, sir. God bless you. I appreciate your call. Yeah, I mean, look, I was in the Civil Air Patrol, for God's sakes. I've certainly flown around plenty and done that when I was a little kid. But I do study the military. It's fascinating to me. I study everything. And Pentagon said, don't do this. It's a low probability of success. And it's not. So they're trying to make the success of saving a pilot a success in the war. It's really that simple. And again, we're getting so many mixed signals out of the Iranians. I'm going to have to clarify this. They've killed so much of the leadership, but the thing operates like a headless horseman. Well, I'll do an update next hour on this because they are talking to some Iranians, but then the Iranians always in the end say, no, you're not talking to us. You say that's face-saving. They have backed off on a lot of things, but they were saying that Iran agreed to the 15-point plan, but now they're saying they didn't. So maybe I was right that they wouldn't make the deal. It's, but that's the fog of war thing, exactly. Like, how are they saying a guy with a broken leg climbed a mountain? Fog of war. In fact, I'm not going to even say the administration, they are lying about stuff, but mainly they're getting things wrong. You see that with Trump. Like, we've won the war 4 days in. Oh, it's over in 3 days. Oh, it just, they don't know. The Pentagon laid out all these scenarios that could happen, and they all run from bad to worse, with an 8% chance that the mullahs would fall within a month. But Trump listened to Mark Levin, the military genius. By the way, I was watching Israeli TV. I got a clip coming up. And, of course, they say they don't have nukes. They got a whole bunch of them. And high-tech ones and submarines and ICBMs and everything else and cruise missiles. And they have Netanyahu's deputy on, who's even more hardcore than him. And they're like, we need to use our nukes. He goes, now don't say we have those. Oh, everybody knows we have them. They go, how about neutron bombs? Are you going to tell them we have neutron bombs? He goes, now be quiet. What did I tell you a week before this war? I said, Israel, in fact, ask the archivist to find it. Only talked about it twice. That Israel has neutron bombs. And the only way to cleanly beat Iran would be to hit all of their main command centers. You'd have to drop like 50 of them to catch them wherever they're at because they move around with neutron bombs. And I said, I know they've got miniaturized. That's what they moved into. It's a perfect decapitation weapon. They still kill everybody depending on the area and how high you drop it. You know, in a 20-square-mile area or whatever, 10-square-mile, whatever, neutron bomb. Doesn't it just seems a high-powered radiation burst that goes hundreds of feet in the ground. And you die within minutes to hours, depending on how big a dose you got. But it's like being put in a microwave oven. But it cooks you in a second. By the way, they say so. They tested on animals. Excruciating beyond imagination. It's like having all your cells burned at once. So now Israel's talking about neutron bombs, folks. Heard it here first. Neutron bombs. Mm-hmm. Oh, a large part of our arsenal is neutron bombs. That's secret, but it's been known since the 70s. And they got stuff way worse. All right, let's go to NEO in Oklahoma, Airborne Combat Team 92 Alpha. Welcome on Iran. What's your take?
Hey, brother. So just a quick correction. I'm not a combat veteran. I served in the 3rd Brigade Combat Team.
I'm sorry.
So
just read what they said on screen. Airborne Combat Team 92 Alpha. Go ahead.
I just didn't want you to be misinformed. So here's what's going on. I'm former supply, okay? I'm just going to lay out some facts to you guys. Let's look at Vietnam. 4 to 5 million bombs were dropped in Vietnam, over 4 to 5 million times, okay? In the Vietnam War supply line, it was over seven, 760,000 tons of supply was transported throughout the war. And we still did not win. My grandfather went over there. AK bomb, no bullies, bully hole. Okay? Trump, I love you, bro. You're my president, but you're not paying attention. And I'm going to stand up for Alex and Rex right now. Jeremy, if you're not willing to send your son or daughter to die, you're between the ages of 35 and 40. If you're not willing to sign that dotted line and earn my blood wings like I did and drop my beret, your mouth shut, because you don't know what you're talking about. You are a resounding God. You are the very thing 1 Corinthians verse 13 warns us about. This is not a game. Look at what's going on. I am buried.
I understand you're upset because you understand this. Let me ask you a question. Am I wrong to say taking the Strait of Hormuz or even one of the islands, 200 times bigger than this, the whole strait 1,000 times bigger? I mean, imagine the stuff's going to get shot down.
Bro, it's going to be a bloodbath. And here's what I'll say. You don't stage. It's one thing for the Marines to cycle around those islands, but you don't just stage paratroopers and Marines in the same location without intent to mobilize. No disrespect to you, Alex. I love you. I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling at the population to wake up. You're playing into the very game they want you to. There's a war here at home that they don't want you to pay attention to. Christianity here at home is under attack. Your way of life is under attack, and you're foaming at the mouth, waving sabers and smacking cans on floors, while politicians are paid more than veterans, while veterans are provided the bare minimum of medical facilities. Veterans are killing themselves because you're not listening. It's not 22 a day. It's 44 a day. Wake up. Stop this nonsense. In the name of Jesus, stop this nonsense.
No, I know this. They reportedly fired the head of the Army because he said at least 200,000 troops to go on the strait, which is what other experts said, 200 to 300. And then they just no, we can do it. We don't have that many special forces. We don't have that many people.
Him and Flynn need to link up and coordinate. That man and Flynn need to coordinate. We need both. Sirs, I hope you hear this. You need to coordinate now.
I understand you're upset, and God bless you for your service. Yeah, the reason Flynn hasn't come on, the reason Roger Stone haven't, is they are so upset they don't even know what to say right now. And they are talking to Trump. I'll just stop there. I'll just stop. I'm not going to say more. It's Trump's been 100% set up. And it's not about defending Trump to say that. People go, he's evil. He knows what he's doing. It's worse. He doesn't. If he was evil and had a plan, it'd be better, which I'm not saying I'm for that. No, it's worse, okay? You hear Trump, that's like a little kid about the military. It took 110,000 Marines and sailors to take Iwo Jima. We lost 20-plus thousand people. That was only 20,000 Japanese. I mean that derogatorily. I respect the Japanese a lot. Great people. This is insane. And then they are very embarrassed they lost World War II to Japanese. That's a big deal. And they love us. They see us like their boss. We beat them. That's how they are. Oh, you beat me. You're the boss, literally. They love us. We're the most popular there. And Trump's like, oh, you snuck attack us in Pearl Harbor. I don't expect you to tell us about that. They're just like, because that's like bringing up that they lost to them. That's like, and when we beat them, they literally bowed down to MacArthur and made him, you're the boss now. Don't bring it up, though. He thought that was a cute joke. He doesn't. Let's go ahead and talk to Jeremy in Kentucky. You're on the air, Army. Welcome.
Hey, Alex, how's it going?
I'm pretty freaked out. And now that Trump's emboldened by this rescue being successful, I'm worried he's going to double down.
Listen, this is a problem. We voted for Trump three different times, and I'm getting pretty frustrated with all of this because, let me tell you, this is a complete disgrace, and he has completely betrayed us. I just got to do a war cry right.
Let me ask you this, Jeremy. You heard him last hour if you were tuned in. He says 100% of his supporters support this. A lot of people still support him overall, but how many Trump, every 90% of Trump supporters I know are completely freaked out.
I cannot support anything he does. He's compromised by Israel. We are sending our boys overseas to die for Israel, and I just can't support this anymore. This is sick and tiring. I don't know who this guy is. I don't know if maybe this was the whole plan all along from 2016, but this is just absolutely ridiculous.
No, he's not bad. I mean, I'm not saying he's not making bad decisions. I know what's going on. And he's basically, he's beyond burnout. He's 79. He only sleeps 2 hours. He gobbles Sudafed. Yeah, I love how Trump's anti-drug, but anti-alcohol, fine. It killed his brother. But he reportedly gobbles a half container of Sudafed a day.
You're also looking at all of this censorship. You know, you got Larry Ellison buying up TikTok, giving it to David Ellison. You got everything going on with Barry White.
Oh, there's no doubt the Israel lobby's making a move on America. Thanks for the call. All right, James, and then Dennis, and Jeff, and Tim, and Lee, and everybody else. Stay with us. Back in 2 minutes. We have it all. Ultramethylene Blue, we have the best. The Shilajit, we have the best. The Turmeric, we have the best. We have the best spike protein, pro cardiovascular, ultimate life force. The best Irish sea moss gummies and capsules. Incredible. Research for yourself. We have the best at theultrastore.com. And if you buy any of them, they're 50% off when you sign up for AutoShip. Cancel anytime. And you guarantee it never sells out. They hold it back. You get 50% off on future orders. And anybody that downloads for free the Android or the Apple app, you find both links to it at alexjonesapp.com. It's free. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top of that. Now, I had to convince Bentley to do this. They were a little skeptical because they like to give you good deals, but not this good because it's loss leader when you use the app. But because we have an 80%+ reorder rate on things like Ultramethylene Blue, it's actually working because you get it, you love it, and you keep ordering. So these are great products. I want to induce you to try them. You know our information is hardcore. Try the products. It's just as hardcore. 1776 worldwide. We will crush the 1984 globalist system. God bless you all.